Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Department of Education estimates that approximately 7 million, and some other estimates estimate as many as 13 million American school-aged children face sustained physical, verbal, and emotional bullying each year. According to the National Education Association, 160,000 students miss school each day from that fear of being bullied. Well, my guest today has made a powerful film to show the effects of bullying in hopes of changing student attitudes, as well as encouraging parents and teachers to take this problem seriously. Lee Hirsch is a documentary filmmaker whose latest film, Bully, has spotlighted this issue. The filmmaker followed three kids and two families through the 2009-2010 school year. We meet Alex, a 12-year-old from Sioux City, just starting middle school. He's been persistently abused and bullied since elementary days. Kelby, a 16-year-old who came out as a lesbian in Tuttle, Oklahoma, and faces ostracism in her community. Jamea, a 14-year-old from Yazoo County, Mississippi. We follow her through the justice system. She'd had enough of being bullied and tried to scare her tormentors by bringing a loaded handgun to school. Now is facing multiple charges. And the families of Kirk and Laura, Smiley and David and Tina Long. Both of their children, 11-year-old and 17-year-old, committed suicide in the face of persistent bullying. Bully has a special showing tonight at the Circle Cinema. Lee Hirsch is in town along with several subjects of the film. They'll be talking about the film and anti-bullying efforts. The film begins at 6:30. The conversation starts at 8 at the Circle Cinema. Lee Hirsch is my guest today here on Studio Tulsa. Lee Hirsch, welcome to Studio Tulsa.
Hey,
thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be with you.
This film was a very personal film for you. What was the impetus for doing the film at this particular point?
It's a film that I'd wanted to make for a very long time. But because it was so personal, I think it was also a very difficult film to conceive of or to figure out what would actually convey this story. How do you do it? What do you show? What can you even present that's not overly academic but also really helps people put a frame around the issue? And I think it really reached a point where it was time. You know, I just felt like the right time. And it wasn't because I saw it as the big media story that it's become. It just felt like it was the personal time for me. And, you know, it struck me as a documentary filmmaker, and you have different ideas and you're looking for what to explore, that there's so many subjects that had been repeated in our world. For example, there's probably been 500 films about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Yes.
There's at least four a year. And there'd never been a film about this most central kind of binding aspect of our human nature that so many people have been through. So it really felt like there was a need to do it.
I think the universality of it is very important, because even if you haven't been bullied or you haven't been a bullier, you've witnessed it at some point growing up.
Right, exactly.
And you had to decide what you're going to do. And for a vast majority of us, we do nothing.
Right. And how do those early decisions line us up through life? What is that impact of turning away from violence or turning away from justice, if you will? I mean, you could get very granular about it. And I think in providing this film and the fact that it's really made a huge difference in communities like Tulsa and communities around the country, where we're also, seeing huge amounts of students participate. It's part of a broader movement, if you will, I think, where people are saying this is something that we can actually do something about. And the more we can empower youth, and by the way, at the same time, empower adults to model that, to choose to stand up, to choose to not turn the other way, I think that's really the impact of that is significant.
Now, I mentioned at the top, this is a personal story for you. You were bullied as a kid?
Yes, I was.
How long did it last? Was it pervasive? Or
it was pervasive, and it was many, many years, and it followed me. I had to change schools basically twice.
Wow.
Till I found,
one that was a little more...
A place where I was able to kind of shed that and make friends and move into, you know, a place where I felt much more comfortable and able to just learn and focus. And for me, it was very physical. You know, it's very interesting. I just recently, two nights ago, met someone that I'd gone to elementary school with that I hadn't seen since then. And he had also been bullied in our town growing up. And he said, "Your mother used to protect me and you." And my mom's passed away for, you know, roughly 9 years. And he called her name and he said, you know, "Frieda used to protect me." And it was just so moving because I didn't have that memory of my mother doing that for us. So it's like, it's been a real process. It's been a personal process, but it's something that I'm very proud of the work.
Now, how do you go back to be a dispassionate bystander as a documentary filmmaker, watching this unfold on a new generation as you do in this film?
I don't quite understand the question.
As a documentary filmmaker, yeah. you're an observer. I mean, right. you have to.
Well, I wouldn't agree that I was a dispassionate observer. I think documentary filmmakers have a very walk a fine line between the fact that they're there because they care about an issue, right, in the first place, is why they're not working in some air-conditioned building, getting health benefits and vacation time.
Working on action films.
Or working on Hollywood movies or... you know, documentary filmmakers are, I think, pretty fierce in general, but so they don't, by and large, you know, inject themselves into a story unless there's something that's driving them that's significant. Because it's certainly not a payday.
At the same time,
you
can't interject yourself into these stories as they're unfolding.
Right, is that you strike a balance between being a fly on the wall observer, but you're not. I don't think you're sort of. You're not hiding the fact that you're there with a position. I think that there's a distinction. Mm-hmm. You know, I think documentary filmmakers are a little bit different from classic investigative journalists, let's say, who are like, okay, I'm just here to find out the facts. When you make a documentary, you also make relationships. You also build friendships. You build trust. You build a world where people feel like they can live their lives and you're around. And that's something that becomes possible. So it's an interesting challenge, but we certainly, I think, this movie pushed the limits of that.
You're watching one of your central subjects, like Alex. I mean, this has to bring up memories of your own life, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and in this film, we did kind of hit the wall where we had to stop production and say, okay, we need to get everyone together in a room and we need to sit down with the school and we need to sit down with Alex's parents and look at what I've seen and really address it. And that was, you know, that the movie stopped for a period. Camera stopped rolling and things, you know, we entered the story and we disclosed that in the movie.
Yeah.
But it had to be done.
The Department of Education estimates about 13 million kids in America are bullied each year.
Yeah.
That's a stunning statistic. And how do they get to the heart of that? Because nobody seems to know what's going on when it's happening.
Well, more and more schools are willing or forced, one or the other, to survey their students on things like school climate. And they ask the question, how many of you have, you know, been bullied this year? How many have witnessed it? How many of you feel there are adults that you can turn to in the building? How many feel like you would choose to stop it? You know, so there's a lot of, you know, precedent for finding a path to understand what this looks like. And I don't know what the statistical magic is by which they get that number, but I know that there's not a community that I've traveled to where there's not a lot of need that's expressed towards this end. So I think it's pretty safe to say that in almost every school district, there's a certain number of kids that are falling behind and because of this issue. So, you know, there's a cost to our communities, there's a cost to our performance. You know, some people just want to look at things from a perspective of
testing,
you know,
scores, testing, bottom line,
and
yeah, sort of
bottom
thing.
Line and graduation rates. And if you look at bullying and you travel anywhere to a conference or a gathering where people are talking about dropouts, for example, they're also having a conversation about bullying because we're losing kids, you know, that are electing not to stay in school, that are going into homeschooling or just kind of getting out of the game completely because they just feel like they can't take it. So there's a cost there in terms of, and often some of these kids are our best and brightest.
Yeah.
So it's,
and
it's
a
very,
human
very,
human
very,
cost
very,
seems to strike yeah. me as the worst, because these are sweet kids. They're kids that are courageous in many cases. I mean, just to put up with abuse, verbal, physical, and emotional that they seem to do is just really amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah, I often say that they're really strong.
Yeah.
Like some people say these are wimps, but I think that kids that are bullied are incredibly strong, incredibly, incredibly resilient.
How did you find the subjects of your film? Alex is one of the central subjects. He's at the time when you were shooting this, is the 2009-2010 school year?
Correct.
Yeah. He was 12 years old in Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah.
How did you find him?
Well, Sioux City was sort of a miracle story. We had been fortunate enough to be introduced to the superintendent and were able to make our case as to what the film was we were trying to do. What we were really looking for was access to be inside a school system, to be inside and have the ability to film in classrooms, in buses, in the principal's office, and to see how the system works and what really happens. And they agreed. It was a very big breakthrough for us.
I would think that most school districts, they say, you want to do a film about bullying? Not in my school district.
And most did do that. Yeah. You know, so that's why I say breakthrough, because it was the breakthrough that I think allowed us to see into Alex's world in the way that we did. And we noticed him on orientation day and other students as well that seemed to be marginalized. But Alex is one of the ones that we started to follow and met his family and began this journey of trying to see what's going on.
And amazingly, you're there filming all these things happening, and still incidents are happening on a daily basis. Do you think the kids just got immune to your presence?
Kids did get very quickly immune. I would say within 2 weeks...
This is old
drama.
Hat.
The drama of middle school just became way more interesting than a guy with a camera.
Yeah, and of course you captured some just terrible, terrible events, as well as just those sort of
some of them were
routine
things.
They were
rote. That's it. They were rote. They were, you know, I think that's actually the bigger truth that the film reveals, is how these little moments that don't seem like much can compound to create that kind of terror, or can compound to create a place where bullying could exist or could thrive. It's not the giant over the head kind of classic schoolyard stuff as much as sometimes it's the simple small moments. Like there's a scene in our film where two students are forced to shake hands, and one is, it's very clear that one's the bully and one's the target. And the administrator just keeps pushing them to shake hands. And it's perhaps the most explosive scene in the whole movie in terms of the audience. You know, by and large, you know, our audiences, young, old, wherever, are screaming at the screen at that point. They're shouting out loud. I mean, it triggers something, but it's not like, you know, the night before they could have gone to the cinema and seen someone get their head cut off and they would have just yawned through it. So it's very interesting what moves us ultimately.
Well, and this gets to the reaction, too, that's a part of this film, that, you know, of how adults either will marginalize the bullying. And, you know, this is kids being kids. It's been around since time immemorial. Or it's sort of ineffectual hand-wringing, I think there are pretty effective anti-bullying programs out there for schools, aren't there?
Sure. There's lots of stuff. You know,
and so, I mean, this is hand-wringing for no good reason.
Well, here's the problem. An anti-bullying program in and of itself is not a panacea. So you can bring in, you can do an assembly, you can do my movie, you can do, you know, many, you can bring in Second Step, you can bring in the Alveus program. You know, there's programs that can be, you know, created, downloaded, bought, consultants, everything. Now, if you don't have an administration and a faculty that's in agreement, that's committed, that's working together to make that programming work, it's not going to have a great chance of being, because the kids read the cues from the adults. So, you know, you need that whole community working together. You need good leadership at the building level. You need the teachers to be bought in. And then you need to bring the students up. And then you can build that culture. And eventually the kids will run with that and will lead it. But those things have to work together. And so the fundamental work that our movie does, I think, is not that it says, this is therefore what you must do. It says, let's come to a powerful community agreement, regardless of our politics, regardless of our, you know, any sort of differences that we may have, let's agree on this. And let's make that a powerful agreement. And then let's come up with, roll up our sleeves and come up with some great solutions that fit our community. And that's what we're seeing happen.
My guest today is director Lee Hirsch. His new film is Bully, a documentary film currently playing at the Circle Cinema. The film is showing tonight at 6:30. He'll be in town for a conversation following the film at 8 o'clock. He's also the director of the 2002 documentary film Amandla, A Revolution in Four-Part Harmony. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. You know, for those here in Oklahoma who say, you know, well, this may be happening in big cities, two of your subjects are here in Oklahoma.
Three today.
Yeah. But the first that we meet is Kelby, who at the time of the filming was a 16-year-old girl who had came out as a lesbian in a little town called Tuttle in southern Oklahoma. And you were talking about the administrators and teachers having to be on the same page. Here's a situation where the bullying came from
came from all sides.
Yeah, it came from everywhere, including teachers and administrators.
What's funny is what happened to Kelby isn't a specific to, you know, southern Oklahoma. These stories like this happen in Los Angeles. They happen in London, England. They happen in, you know, private schools in New York City. When you have an administration that does not set those clear expectations about how we treat every student and understand, you know, and really understand what the civil rights are of every student in their building, and that right to learn and be free to learn in a safe environment. It's very, very important that is communicated. So when you see a scenario where a student is bullied or bullying is allowed to continue, I mean, because of sexual orientation issues, it's heartbreaking because it's very sad, but it's also very illegal. And that really needs to be addressed. I think Kelby's story has moved a lot of very conservative thinkers on this issue. And that's something that has been really exciting, is people have watched this movie and seen what she and her family have endured and gone through, and it's really caused a rethink. And not that to say that folks that might look at this from a religious perspective and have the struggle with that they do, but they've said, irrelevant to that, this, no kid should go through this, regardless. And that's a move. That's like a positional move. And that's, I think, important. And so, you know, my hope is that Tuttle today is a different Tuttle than it was when we made this movie. And I think that's the same for a lot of communities.
And I think, she showed incredible courage because her family said, look, if you want to leave, we can leave. We can find some other place. She goes, no, I want to stay here.
That's right.
I want to change minds.
That's right.
What an incredible courageous.
For someone of that age who's been, and she'd been run over by a minivan, there's extraordinary hardships that she endured in that
time. Teachers taunting her in class.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is the resilience. When we talked about the strength of kids that are bullied, you're talking, that's a really clear an example of that kind of strength, is to say, not only will I continue to face my tormentors, but I'm going to choose to face them with dignity. And that, in turn, I hope will make things better for future generations. I mean, that's a very heroic position to take when you're 16 years old.
For every Alex and Kelby, though, there are the other subjects of your film where it's just too tough. You have two sets of parents whose children have committed suicide because of bullying. Another young girl who basically hit a breaking point and basically brought a gun to stop the bullying. And so, I mean, this is a real story as well.
This is an absolute reality in our country, is that we are learning more and more about children that have died by suicide who have been bullied. And we're only, I think, beginning to unravel the level and the severity and the extent to which that's happened, even going backwards. 10 years ago, a lot of suicides weren't talked about in the community. They were just hushed over or called something else. People say, is this something that's new? Is this something happening with our contemporary times? I don't know if it's just that we didn't understand or we didn't make those connections sooner, because I don't think bullying is new. I think what's new is that people are standing up. I think people have had enough. I think across the country, Americans are saying this is something that we must and can deal with. It wasn't very long ago when most people agreed that drinking and driving was a necessary evil.
Right.
Right. There was agreement in society
that all of a sudden there's nothing to laugh about anymore. It became a taboo, really.
It became absolutely taboo. And that's not to say that there's not, it doesn't happen, but you could probably put a statistic to it. It's probably 80% less of it happens today than 30 years ago. And I think that's where we're getting, that's where we're going to go with bullying. There'll be more and more communities and schools that have figured out how to make it a taboo, how to make it not socially acceptable. And that is the hope here. I think that within this story, I like this movement and this story, because it's not like you're trying to stop global warming. This is something we can actually do something about, whether we're a parent, a school administrator, a bus driver, a kid, an advocate. There's so many ways to play a role, a legislator, a mayor. I just had the opportunity to speak before the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and they passed a resolution to take a stand and convene public forums on this issue, and to also support the social outreach campaign of our movie, which seeks to take this experience of seeing this film and processing it to over 1 million students across the United States. We've already gotten to 100,000. And the other reason why I'm here in Tulsa is because, we're really hoping that Tulsa is going to be one of those million kid cities. And that's very exciting.
When we talk about bullying today, a lot of, the current media trend is to talk about cyberbullying. But, it's interesting. Your film is really about
brick and mortar.
Yeah, the old fashioned. Didn't even try to get into cyberbullying, which, you know, to me, it's like, you know, your tormentor's taking out an ad in the newspaper, if you will.
That's really well. That's a good way of framing it.
But I mean, the film really just focuses on the bullying that's been around for as long as kids have been going to school.
And it wasn't a conscious choice to exclude it. It just didn't naturally occur in any of our stories. So it wasn't a component. And it's not to minimize it. And so, like other things, when people watch Bully or communities convene town hall meetings or screenings or any of the things that we've done, then the conversation also includes that. So it's a jumping off point. Like, there's so many things that one can discuss, but I don't think we had to have, like, shown every aspect of the issue to get people to really just open up. The other thing that has happened through this journey of making this film, I think, is people have really started to feel comfortable sharing their stories. I mean, across the board, wherever, practically everybody I meet has a story that they have very likely never told anyone before when it comes to bullying. And I think that's interesting.
What's been the reaction of the specific communities that you profiled, like Sioux City, like Tuttle, Oklahoma, the town where David and Tina Long have had this protracted battle about the suicide of their son? Has this changed anything?
I can speak most about Sioux City, where we continue to have like a very engaged relationship. You know, I'm sure it's had impact in all the communities. In Sioux City, it's been very embraced. The film premiered there at a free public screening for, oh boy, we thought 300 or 400 people would come, and 1,600 people showed up. It was a robust, powerful conversation. The assistant principal, the administrators came and spoke to the community. They have formed powerful lobbying advocate groups in the city that interact on a weekly basis with the school administration. The Sioux City Journal published a full-page, front-page editorial about how bullying must stop right here in our community that was so powerful that it was picked up by papers across the country. So I think that it has had an impact. And it's really gotten people thinking. I think for Sioux City, because it was the whole process was an experiment. Now, it didn't exactly turn out the way they wanted, but will people that work in the schools there tell you that it's made them better? Yes, they will say that.
That's good. That is good. The name of the film is Bully. Lee Hirsch, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks. It was great to be here.
Documentary filmmaker Lee Hirsch speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. His latest film is titled Bully. A special showing takes place tonight at 6:30 at the Circle Cinema, and there'll be a conversation with the director as well as several subjects from the film following the film at 8. Visit circlecinema.com for information. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.